Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
And this is P-A-T.
All right, P-A-T. You said you had a Halloween story you wanted to tell us.
Yes, I did. But you know what? I think I'd actually like to start this episode off with a song, if you all will indulge me in that. To get the ball rolling, to set the tone, set the mood. Special day.
This better not be Baby Got Back.
No, it's something for,
we had to scrap
for somebody very special,
that.
Real special of my heart. I just want to sing.
Go for it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Repperger.
Sure.
I asked Chad. Happy birthday to you.
No matter how long you know somebody, you never truly know them. I have known Chad since I was 3 years old, and he doesn't know my last name.
Well, I actually asked him because I asked
it's
him
not like
I
said, I'm going to marry him.
So. Is it a hard G or a soft G? Because I wasn't sure. But anyway, so.
Yeah, well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
All right, now let's go back and get ready for your lap dance.
Somebody did point out, though. I share a birthday with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Nice.
Well,
his is the exact same day as mine. Wow. He was born exactly 20 years before I was. Huh.
So does this make you like a fourth of a Chris or something?
I'm not that old.
I shared my birthday with Howard Stern and some other unsavory characters, but I'm proud of that one.
You know, I once saw a list of people I share my birthday with, and most of them are pretty admirable.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Well, yeah. Keep in mind, last time I checked, this was prior to him being anybody of significance. Yeah. And so his name would not have even registered on any of these lists. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all pretty admirable people, including, I think, the Statue of Liberty was...
She's a classy lady.
Dedicated or something like that on October 28th. So I share a birthday with the Statue of Liberty.
And that would be someone almost as old as Chris.
Makes you wonder if she's...
Almost, true. Almost.
Toga.
She is French.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. But I'm still going to make you tell your Halloween story.
Oh, that's it. So a Halloween story. So yeah. So I was thinking the other day, since Halloween is upon us.
Ooh, he gave you that look. I like that.
I thought, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool if we did almost like our bedtime story thing where. If we had some interesting stories about Halloween, I've got a few, but I thought I'd go around the table and see if any of you guys have any kind of stories that you'd like to tell.
I've got one.
One?
Does it involve two girls at the same time?
I like where this is going.
No, this, well, no.
Now I want to hear it.
He thought they were girls. Right. It was Halloween.
I'm going to tell you guys a story that I was personally not there to witness. And upon hearing it, there's going to be some people out there a little more skeptical, a little more cynical, who are going to call BS.
Probably me.
And I cannot blame any such people, except for the fact that I trust the source. Mm-hmm. This is not the kind of person that would make this sort of thing up. Because there's been things in the past where he's told me stories, and they're pretty far out there. I'm like, there's no way.
Who is this guy?
This is Christian.
Oh.
And he'll tell me stories, and I'm like, nah, he's just making this crap up just to sound cool or to be conversational. And then I'll find out it really did happen. And that's happened enough times to where I believe this guy, even when he tells me some pretty out there stories.
So he's smoking a big fat J and then
with
saw
two girls at the same time.
What, you know, so far, this has not left the realm of possibility.
He had a friend. So back when he was in college, he associated with a fraternity that was for some kind of out there sport. Well, it wasn't like their football team.
But it's like lacrosse.
I cannot remember what it was. He's told me before, and I just can't remember what it was. But they were all kind of crazy guys. And yeah, they smoked a lot of weed. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm just putting that on the table. And one year on Halloween, he goes out with this guy. And they're just kind of wandering the streets. And this other guy was dressed in like a t-shirt and sweatpants. And as they're walking around the street, he catches some kid and says, hey, you want to see something really freaky? And the kid goes, okay. And so this guy just pisses himself.
What?
Wow.
Just
wow.
Right there in the middle of the street. Just let's go.
And you got to go. You got to go, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Family happiness.
I was not there to see it. I cannot guarantee you that this happened, man. But the sources trustworthy.
I was expecting like a seance or a haunted house or something lights in the woods.
I thought about that. It's like, you know, it's a Halloween thing, so maybe I should try and tell ghost stories. Because I think
frat boy pisses himself.
I think most people probably have something that's happened in their life they can't quite explain. And depending on your worldview, you may have a real skeptical view of it and just say, well, I just saw lights, or, you know, maybe you believe in that kind of thing. I don't know. But I decided I was going to go a different route.
So you went straight to the bottom.
Hey, that's good. Well, Chad, anything?
You asked me this, and I used to do stuff on Halloween all the time through my 20s. And, you know, through my childhood, I did stuff on Halloween all the time because that's what kids do, and there's nothing really special about that. I used to drag my mother all across the neighborhood collecting candy, which is weird because I was never really into candy. Uh-huh. I don't have a sweet tooth necessarily.
Oh.
I just liked amassing this wealth. You know,
it's the collecting, collector.
It was like the dragon who gets the gold. Does a dragon spend gold? What does he spend it on?
He sleeps on it.
He
sleeps on it because it's soft. So why doesn't he go out and cut down fir trees? Those would be even softer.
Yeah. Well, you know, because it's a dragon. What it really is, like, he goes to the dragon chick's like, hey, baby, you know what I sleep on? That's right, a big old pile of gold. And you know, that's kind of what he does.
The river spinner dragon.
Yeah,
two dragons at the same time.
Two chick dragons at the same time. Yeah, anyway, I used to mass hordes of candy and never really eat it, actually. And then through my 20s, I did tons and tons of Halloween parties. The thing is, I don't remember any of them. Mm. And this isn't the usual Chad forgetfulness. This is large quantities of alcohol.
Yeah, you drank a lot.
Yes. Yes.
We used to have parties at a guy named Chris Kashner's house. And yes, you got significantly inebriated.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, it is putting it pretty mildly.
Well, you know, there were a couple of times a year that we partied it up. New Year's was a big one for us. Halloween was bigger than New Year's
for us. Part of the reason for that was, you know, you get people out there that really get into one holiday or another.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when you're talking about this, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You get someone who they put up all the lights, they do the tree, they got to bake the cookies, and Santa comes in the morning and all that jazz. This guy, if you take the person.
Chris,
you
not know, me.
Yeah, Chris, not Chad.
Just showed up to drink.
If you take the person you know who is just the most into Christmas, for example, and apply that to Halloween, I mean, this guy would literally spend thousands of dollars every year going all out on Halloween.
He lived next door to a graveyard.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, and that totally used to be me, too. I was definitely Mr. Halloween. And of course, in those days, you know, as a depressed teenager, Christmas wasn't something I looked forward to each year. Halloween was the day when everyone else in the world thinks like I do.
This is the guy who, you know, the little old ladies who buy Christmas little decorations in July or go to the Christmas all year round Christmas store. This is the 20 something who would go to the all year round Halloween store and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was at one of these parties, I remember, that we used to put together costumes, really cool ones. And I'll see if I can find a picture, but I don't think I have a digital copy of these pictures. But I dressed up as the Crow. Because I was a huge fan of the movie and then a huge fan of the comic book, because I actually saw the movie first before I even heard the comic. And so I dressed up as a crow, and it was as accurate as I could make it because I couldn't afford leather pants. Mm-hmm. And so I just wore black jeans. But everything else, I even cut bullet holes in the shirt, and I taped myself up, and I even got, like, packing.
I do want you to know, Chad, I will never in my life look down on you for not owning leather pants.
The world thanks you for being too poor to own leather pants.
Just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about the movie The Crow, he didn't wear the shiny, skin-tight, latex-poured-over-your-body glam pants. They were, like, normal pants, only made of leather. Yeah, Pat's giving me that, leather. Yeah. Leather's leather, and I'll slap that ass if I ever see it
slap
in leather.
Slap that ass up.
Lederhosen, baby.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
So, you know, I had the long hair, so I was able to put my hair down for it, and I had friends who painted my face up for me, because, you know, I didn't know anything about makeup, so I got these chicks to paint my face up for me, and had tape around my hands, and we were pausing the movie and looking at it to get, you know, the images just right, and then all this sort of stuff. So I even had, like, the leather trench coat and everything. So I show up to this Halloween party, and I'm thinking, man, I'm looking really good. This costume turned out great. And, you know, it's not because all the other crow costumes guys have to wear wigs for, and that these polyester wigs look terrible. And I actually had the real long hair, and yeah, this is awesome. So I go to the guy's house. Chris, who we were talking about, puts on these huge, elaborate Halloween parties. And of course, him and all of his friends are wrestling fans. So the first thing that happens when I walk through the door is, hey, you dressed up as Sting. And I'm like, you sons of bitches. It's Sting, everybody. It's Sting. I'm like, fuck you.
I was going through my head as you were building up to that, trying to think of the pro wrestler. I actually would have guessed like Undertaker.
The difference I would have gone with was having been a wrestling fan myself. Yeah. I would have been excited by that. Well, they like the costume.
You know something. What, though, Chad? Actually, this reminds me of something that I did not even think about in our prior several shows until just now.
Mm-hmm.
He used to run a LARP every year. Do you remember playing, was it Zombies in the Graveyard?
Oh, yeah. Zombie. He called it a zombie LARP, but it was zombie tagged.
But the way it would work was he had these things that were kind of like D6s. They were little plastic cubes that had seven LEDs.
Yeah.
And you'd slap it on your hand, and from that impact, it would kick it off, and it'd start flipping through the numbers.
Yeah,
and would eventually come up with a D6 roll. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't have to do paper, scissors, rocks, or paper, scissors, rocks, lizard, Spock, or whatever.
The Spocker.
So you would separate into teams that you would draw something, either you were a zombie or you were a human. If you were a human, you'd have an objective. Like, for example, if you were the jock, you had to get the booze and the girl and then get out of there. And he would take a bottle of booze and hide it in this graveyard behind his house. Because we're not joking. He really did back up to a real graveyard.
Big, huge graveyard.
And so he would put a bottle of booze somewhere out there. And he might take like a doll of a girl or something like that. Or even pick a real person that was there to represent the girl. And you had to get in and get out. All the while the zombies would come out.
Which were usually his wrestling buddies.
And you had...
They were very rambunctious.
And you had chits. I can't remember what they were. We had some kind of little tokens that we'd carry with that represented life.
Yeah.
And we would do a roll-off, and the humans had an advantage over the zombies. So a human is more likely to win than a zombie.
And mind you, this was all during Halloween, so you had woods and a graveyard, because the graveyard backed up to the woods, which backed up to his house, filled with guys dressed up as zombies. And then you had the survivor human team who would be dressed up as the Crow or Sting and vampires and a robot and a Nod tank pilot. Yeah. Your awesome costume. Totally eclectic. But, you know, imagine you have a zombie movie where the heroes are not the survivors, a mailman, an accountant. The survivors are a cowboy and an alien and a pro wrestler
and a sexy nurse.
You go out there and then you have these objectives. And there were rules for when a zombie came at you, do a roll off. And if a human got hurt, they had to give some of their health points to the zombie. And once the zombie was finally killed, they would have to return to Chris, who would put them on kind of a timeout, after which they would respawn and re-enter. Mm-hmm. And the humans had to be the first to complete their own objective and then get out.
Yeah.
And then
the humans would turn into zombies too.
Right. And then he had a prize for whoever it was that got out first. But it was kind of a mini LARP. I was a little one-shot LARP.
This sounds like a lot of fun. I would be the first to sign up for that.
I mean, it's not really... There really isn't role-playing in it. But, I mean, there's roles that you play.
Well, you had characters. You had objectives.
Yeah.
If there was no role-playing, it was only because we never chose to do it, not because it wasn't possible.
No, because I had some mad wrestling fan with fake green makeup on me chasing my ass through the woods.
Well,
don't have time.
There was a very physical component to
what's
this.
My motivation? Biff's about to beat my ass.
So I'm guessing
possibly rape me.
Beat
is that drunk.
Beat is about to biff my ass off.
Yes.
Wayne, what about you?
All right. I will tell you why I generally avoid haunted houses. So I have plenty of Halloween stories.
Because they're too scary.
Not exactly.
I've never been to a haunted house.
Picture me as a teenager. So I am a nerdy teenager, but I am the goth wannabe. I wear all black. I've got chains off my belt, onto my wallet. Never did that. I did, however,
mascara.
Dyed my hair black.
Did you really?
Yep. Picture me, as you like to refer, Ginger, with black hair. I had an earring in one of my ears. Okay, so I'm going with some friends out to a haunted house. I am Mr. Badass. I like horror things, and I'm walking through, and this is actually a haunted trail. So we're going through the woods, and I feel like I am too good for this. I've got a miniature flashlight in my pocket, and I'm pointing out, there's a guy hidden over there. There's a guy hidden over there. We go through half this thing. Nothing is really, everything I'm pointing out. Some guy managed to get by. I didn't see him coming at all. So I'm pointing out here. The guy jumps out, does his ah. And before I even realize what I'm doing it, my fist is made and I jack him in the jaw. He drops to the ground. The guy's laying there on the ground holding his jaw. My face is turning a bright color of red because I am embarrassed.
Oh. Yeah, well, and he's turning a dark color purple.
And he's looking up at me and he's just kind of stuttering over his word, don't touch anyone else in here.
Wow.
And I never lived that one down. It was pure reflex. I had no idea what was going on. He's there. I'm punching. He's on the ground.
Wow.
And yeah, that's why I avoid haunted houses. Not because I'm afraid of being scared, because that was really embarrassing.
Yeah. He's been banned from the
I was actually lucky they didn't ban me or anything
actually,
like that.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I actually just read a news story about something similar to that today. Some cop somewhere, I don't remember where, but went to a haunted house with his friends, and he was drunk, but he was carrying his weapon because apparently in that township, even on off duty, they are required to carry their weapon with them. Okay, whatever. So he was going through this haunted house, and he was drunk, and they got to the end, and one of the people there was, he had a chainsaw, the typical bladeless chainsaw. Yeah. He was chasing them out, and they were at the exit. Well, this guy chased him right up to the exit of the haunted house. The guy stumbles out of it, turns around, draws his weapon, and pointed it at the guy's chest.
My gosh.
And wow. Yeah, and luckily they said like a security guard was following them and saw everything happen. So they called the police on, and took care of it and everything. But like, yeah, this guy was,
wow.
The employee, that I think, dumbass, is lucky to still be alive, apparently, because he could have gotten shot.
I have to wonder, and there has to be a legal case on this somewhere. In most states of the U.S., there's generally an exception for self-defense, that if you believe your life to be in some kind of danger, you're allowed to respond with some kind of force. Right. And exactly how much danger and exactly how much force varies from state to state. Missouri's fairly forgiving in this regard. Some states aren't. For example, New York's much tighter about keeping force parallel and such.
Right.
But I wonder if you go into a haunted house and genuinely get freaked out and convinced some portion of it is real.
I think that if you get to that point and you cap a guy, then you go before a judge and you're like, I thought the haunted house was real and I got freaked out.
I mean, it's one thing to be in my...
lucky, it's temporary insanity.
It's one thing to be in my case where the guy jumped out and it wasn't premeditated at all.
No, it was assault.
I didn't realize what was happening until I'm looking at him and he's on the ground.
That's a battery, Wayne, and you should be punished by the law. So on my left here, I capped a guy because I thought the haunted house was real. And on my right, I have, I assaulted and battered a guy because... Hey, I like punching people.
It was a reflex.
Mine was a question of curiosity. I have never... that's not true. I have been in a haunted house. It's been years.
I've never been in one.
It's been years and years and years and years and years. But I went to the one... There's a Six Flags just outside of St. Louis in a little town called Eureka. And I went to their haunted house when I was like somewhere between 12 and 15 years old, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe even younger than that. That was the last time I've been in a haunted house. I would be willing to go. I just don't know personally that there's two things I'd struggle getting past. One is the cover charge.
Right.
Because I don't know if this is a St. Louis thing or this is typical most places, but there are a lot of places here that put on really sophisticated haunted houses with animatronics and special effects. I mean, they really go all out in this stuff. They build these huge complexes. But the resulting cover charge is enormous. Mm. I mean, it's $30 to $50. Ooh. And with some of these, they've got things where if you go in there and you take a wrong turn because it's kind of a maze or something, it's like a P.T. Barnum thing. You end up dumped back outside. And so you're talking, even if you make it all the way to the end, you haven't been in there all that long. Your dollars per hour of entertainment here is a pretty messed up ratio. But the second thing is most of it is not scaring you. It's startling you. And I hate being startled. I don't mind being scared.
Yeah.
I hate being startled.
Either that or there's just no light and you're just walking through the dark. This isn't scary. I just stubbed my toe.
Yeah. I will say this. Probably the most fun that I ever had in a situation like that was actually a haunted corn maze. I think they have these around in various places. I'm sure there are some near here somewhere in St. Louis. The one that I actually went to was down in Southwest Missouri. And it was fun in the fact that it was a huge corn maze, a cornfield that they lay out a maze in it. And the nice thing about that is that literally you get in
maze.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. The maze. Okay. Whatever.
That's a pretty husky pun.
Yeah. Oh God.
Go on, Pat. So
you get into the,
this is getting pretty cordy.
You get into the maze.
You know, there's a kernel of truth in what you say.
And the nice thing about it is that you don't have to worry about getting kicked out into, because basically you start the maze and there's it'll take you a good 20 or 30 minutes to work your way through it. And the cool thing too is that the way they had this one set up, they had like lights like over in the distance. So it's after dark, but there's lights over this way. So, but the corn is about 8 feet tall.
Is it popping out at you?
It totally is. And they do the typical, you know, they do the things where they're the blind, you know, the people hiding, you know, in little cubbies here, the guy with the chainsaw, Michael Myers, the typical thing. But I think what made it fun for us was that it was, you know, we went with a group of people and there was the startle effect, but it was fun to go as a group and to laugh. And, you know, I never felt, I was not scared. I just wasn't, but I enjoyed
it. That's
because
you were all ears.
Yes, I was. I enjoyed it because I was with friends and they were, you know, the girls were getting startled by this, that, and the other. But so it was fun to react with. Now, I mean, I will say this. What we did learn from this was, in a fight or flight situation, who would survive? And Beth will appreciate this because I'm telling this. The two couples that primarily were there were me and my wife and our friend Todd and Susan. And Beth is
who is
my wife. She is definitely a survivor because as soon as whoever, chainsaw guy, popped out behind us, she took off in a sprint so fast that we didn't even see her go. And she was like lost for the next 15 minutes because we just don't know where she went. I, on the other hand, was standing next to my friend Susan. And as soon as this guy did that, she turned 90 degrees, grabbed onto me in a full body hug and just froze. She was so scared, but she was the raccoon in the headlights thing.
I'm going to die and I'm going to make him take you with me.
So I was like, I'm sitting there going, Susan, it's okay. We can go. And she's just like latched on, just completely frozen. It was hilarious. It took her like 2 or 3 minutes to calm down too. But anyway, so it was fun.
You know, Dan, the Six Flags ones you mentioned are actually my only exception to haunted houses because I worked there for so long back as a teenager through the early 20s. In those haunted houses, I even worked in one of them for a day. I know where everything is. So I generally am willing to go through there. But the last time I went through there, I'm going through one and there's someone following behind me and it's doing their creepy, I'm going to just walk behind you, doing nothing but walking behind you. And again, this is me in the middle of my goth wannabe days. I have my my form-fitted fangs in as I'm walking through the park in my trench coat.
Oh,
and
no.
She is,
wait.
She is behind me step by step. So at one point, I just stopped.
Did you have custom fangs?
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop the show. Stop. Right. Here.
It gets worse.
No, so,
worse.
It can't. He follows you to Denny's.
No, this was a girl. She was around. She was looking me up somewhere mid teens or something.
Okay.
So she's following behind me. She's really close. So I stop. I turn around. I bare the fangs. I go with my hands up and I'm hissing at her. And she falls on the ground. Years later, now I realize I was just being a douche. But at the time, I thought, how cool was I? I was scaring the little Six Flags workers.
Oh, my God.
You weren't being a douche. And you weren't being cool.
So we've got assault and battery. I'm not sure how we classify this one. We're learning a lot about life tonight.
I do a role
playing
game.
I'm going to scoot over toward you, Dan. I'm scared.
I do a role playing game on podcast, and Wayne, I have to look at you and go, nerd.
You do a role playing game about podcasts, huh?
Yeah, we roll up podcasters.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Awesome.
So speaking of role playing games, have you guys ever done a Halloween role playing game?
Well, yeah, I want to talk about not just Halloween ones, but holiday games in general, because of course we're coming at the end of the year here into the big stretch where you have three holidays in a row, all spaced about a month apart, which is, of course, Halloween, followed by Thanksgiving, followed by Chris Mahana Kwanzaa. I mean, whatever, whatever your flavor of the late December holiday is. Point being, you go through these three holidays pretty rapidly, and there's something that some people like to do that I have only done a very small number of times, and I want to get your guys' take on, which is going broader than the Halloween game, the holiday-themed games in general. And there are several approaches to this.
Well, seeing as how the only holiday that we've passed over with him gaming is Easter and 4th of July.
Christmas?
We did through Christmas? Yeah, you haven't even been gaming a full year yet, have you?
No, yeah, but I think, close, but not quite.
I think, though, honestly, when you're talking about holiday games, I think really the only one that lends itself to a game is going to be Halloween.
Is Arbor Day, yes.
I mean, why?
Well, you say
yes,
that.
But that's for the pagans. And, you know, I celebrate
Arbor
Halloween.
Day.
I celebrate Halloween and Arbor Day because, you know, I just have no
interest
in the other.
Because you're just this galloping pagan.
Well,
exactly. I don't know. What about an idea for a one-shot of Columbus Day?
You say that Halloween is the one that lends itself to it, but you would not believe the number of supplements that are out there for Christmas games.
Yeah, even I've seen a bunch of
and
them out there.
I mean, came up as I was thinking about this.
Nothing sounds more painful to me than playing at the Christmas themed role playing
game of any kind. Let's beat up on these one at a time. I came up with four.
I'm not a huge fan of Christmas as it is.
Well, hang on.
I hate Christmas!
I came up with four types of holiday games. I want to run these each past you, okay? The first one is a fictional holiday that's part of the background of the plot. For example, I was running a sci-fi game once, and they were on a planet while this planet was celebrating some kind of like a founding day or something like that for the original colony on that planet. And I had written up all the traditions they had for this and the way that they would decorate. And it was a cycle of like a couple days that they would go through this particular festival with they'd eat certain foods on this day and have fireworks whatever on that day. And it was a background to the plot.
Did anybody even notice?
Yes, actually, they were role-playing really well. Several guys in the party were playing aliens of various races who were just fascinated by these human customs. And I thought it added a lot to the game. And I guess this kind of goes back to the lack of mythology and fantasy games we talked about. And this was sci-fi. But same kind of thing. I think fictional holidays add a lot to an RPG. Mm-hmm. But that's really not the main kind
of holiday.
You know
what I think would be cool with that idea? If you're, you know, you're going with your sci-fi idea, you're off on a spaceship, and one member of the crew has his holiday. So this week, this person has their holiday. No one else on board cares about it.
Everybody gets a Christmas gift, but everybody's an alien except the one human.
The second thing I came up with is real holidays uses the main plot. For example, let's say we're playing, I don't know, whatever, we're playing a game. And for this one weekend, we're going to have a side plot where we get sucked through a portal to save Santa.
Ugh. Well, I mean, it doesn't even have to be Santa. I mean, it's just the night.
I have seen movies of this. I have seen TV shows of this. Sure. I have read comics of this. And everyone turns out bad.
It's just so corny.
Let me ask you something, though, because generally I agree.
Are we back
with
that crap again? I mean, come on, let's get past the puns here.
Oh, you coy devil.
I generally agree with you. I personally have some trouble with a holiday as the main plot, you know, the save Santa game or whatever. We're playing a sci-fi game and all of a sudden we're in the spooky woods on Halloween. Whatever holiday you want to go with.
Now, spookiness, I think, would be worked into a game, but it's not a we're going trick-or-treating this week or something.
Right. Well, okay, which is a horror game, which is a completely different subject. First off, I can accept it provided it's tongue-in-cheek and doesn't figure too heavily back into the plot. Think of like kind of like a World of Warcraft type event. It's a tongue-in-cheek thing. Maybe walking away from it, I have a candy cane that does cure light wounds or something silly like that. But it's not like Santa's going to be a recurring character.
Would you feel cheated at the end if it were a case of one character wakes up and he dreamed the whole thing?
Yes.
Because that at least is a way to say we did it, it's done, but it doesn't affect anything.
Here's the thing I want to do is I want to step a little bit outside of what our tastes are to say that I know there are a lot of people out there that really get into the holiday spirit, and just the same way that you want to decorate your house and decorate your workspace and whatever, they want to decorate their game. And so they really enjoy having these lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek holiday games that, once again, may not figure into the main plot, maybe something that, okay, after this happens, we're never going to talk about it again, but they're going to do it you know, I don't have a problem with that per se, provided it's kept in the right perspective. If someone took it seriously, if this really started to affect the game, yeah, it'd get stupid as hell.
You know, I can see people having fun with it, but for me, if I were going that route, I want a popcorn one shot instead.
That was one of my next ones. This is going all the way down to the fourth one. We'll skip our third one. Is a one shot or a mulligan game. And I call it a mulligan game because while we're going to play it out...
Because you hate Irish people?
That's exactly, exactly. So we'll call us an Oliver Cromwell game. I think he was actually more a Scots. But point being, it's a game that you're going to do. It's a one-shot, perhaps with completely brand new characters made just for this game. Maybe it's with your existing characters, but this is a different reality. This is completely separate from anything else that's going on.
That's why I called it a popcorn game, too, because it's...
Well, you go, beer and pretzels.
Yeah, beer and pretzel game. I refer to more as popcorn game.
Because you don't drink beer.
Exactly. I'm not really a drinker. But basically, this is just a fun little game. It has nothing to do with what we're normally doing.
I find that Halloween games are probably the ones that work the best, and really is only one shot. I mean, horror games are fun. Horror games are easy to run, especially if you do like a zombie game. But I have found personally it only works as a one shot. Because if you have your normal campaign going and you're doing straight up sci-fi or you're doing a Kung Fu Hong Kong action thing or something like that, and suddenly it's Easter or Thanksgiving or 4th of July, I don't know that, I mean, other than just the holiday is occurring in the background.
That was type three, is the holiday in the background. I remember reading...
Just doing flavor. I just don't think it works, you know?
In the holiday in the background, I think that was great. I remember reading a Battletech novel where they specifically mentioned, because they were following the calendar, you know, there was a little time stamp at the top of each of the chapters. And when they got near Christmas, it was not a major point of the plot. I mean, it's not like Santa came out in his battle master or anything like that. But it just mentioned
if only
the practices of people decorating things and the way that daily life was changing as these people observe this holiday. Yeah. And it struck me as so neat. And I realized afterwards the reason it struck me as so neat is because you never see it.
Yeah.
Particularly in science fiction, there are no holidays.
Right.
Nobody on the Starship Enterprise celebrates anything.
In Die Hard there is, but that's not really a sci-fi. But Die Hard took place during Christmas.
That's not in any way sci-fi.
No, it isn't. But I'm just saying, like, in that's a like movie
saying, that would
setting,
be like me saying Lethal Weapon, it happens
well,
in.
Do you follow what I'm saying, though?
He's just throwing out examples.
Is that it happens. It's not about Christmas. The whole thing is not about Christmas, but it's something that's going on in the story. And Die Hard could easily be a sci-fi, a horror, or whatever. But I can't really think of very many other movies that are like that aren't specifically Christmas movies or Christmas TV shows. Unless they have their Christmas special, and then it's all about like the Buffy Christmas special or the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Or that great Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh. Nice. You had full body shivers there, Dad. You know, I'd actually really love to play in a horror game, though. I've yet to try it. I'm the type of person, I want to try just about, I have to preface that because I'm sitting next to Chad here, just about anything once. And that's one aspect I've never tried is a horror game. So I would love to do a one-shot.
I've played horror games before. I've had pretty good fun.
Yeah, talking about the one-shots, I think, obviously, for the Halloween, that's a good time to play. Like, I know we played, like, Call of Cthulhu. Mm. That's a great one to play on Halloween, you know, just because it's very creepy. It lends into it in those kind of games.
You know, I think that you hit it on the head there, too, that with a horror game, especially if you're doing, like, a one-shot Halloween, just you and your friends all around and stuff, you shouldn't try to scare people with it, but you just want to be creepy.
Yeah.
You know, you want people to go, ooh, man, that is...
Like in my gaming groups, you know, the Halloween game would just sort of be, it was the adventure we went on that particular week was it was just spooky theme, you know, it was about some kind of a spirit, whatever. Yeah, it wasn't like, oh well, this is the All Hallows Eve in this world. It's just that it was a spooky adventure, so it was
it's a sci-fi game, we're on this creepy abandoned space
station, like, yeah, you're doing like a space hole kind of a thing, or an aliens kind of a thing too,
or you're going through this cave and there's possibly skeletons or zombies in it, or
and the reason I said in a little while ago I really think that Halloween is one that only really lends itself very well to that is just because even though there are these Christmas supplements you're talking about, which I personally have never seen it or played. I'm sure there are hundreds, tons. I'm not doubting you.
The one that comes to mind as being the most recent one I've seen, I'm sure there's been many senseless, particularly if you hit like the PDF market and such, is I want to say it was Evil Hat. Somebody put out a whole collection of holiday themed adventures.
Yeah, I attempted to listen to an actual play that was a holiday themed adventure, and I was left wondering why afterwards.
but anyway, the reason I say that though is because when you look at all these other holidays, Halloween is the one where you're with your friends.
Yeah.
Now, the other ones, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, these are your family holidays.
Yeah.
You're getting together with family. I mean,
unless
you're not
role
with your
play
gaming
with your,
group.
Now, yeah, maybe you role play do, with your
and
family,
that
but that's
really cool.
Yeah.
But hey, I don't know about you. That family, I don't know.
I don't know about you, Pat, but I love role playing. But when it comes to Christmas, you better not get in the way of my turkey.
Exactly.
I don't want to take time out to roll dice
so
my turkey.
The Halloween is perfect because the Halloween is the holiday where you generally typically get together with your friends, and that makes it really easy to get together with the gaming group. So there you go. It's like the perfect holiday for gaming.
You know, I think my problem with a holiday game, even be it a one shot or your normal campaign, you just kind of stick it in there just to be more festive, is my general problem with holidays in the United States. All the major holidays are crammed down your throat for 2 months before the holiday even hits.
At least.
And, I mean, we're approaching Halloween here.
And Christmas stuff is already out.
Yep, Christmas stuff is coming out. Thanksgiving is going to get a pass. I mean, the last year, Thanksgiving got a pass. You know, it was just Christmas. Oh,
well,
yeah.
You know,
happy
what?
Thanksgiving. Christmas,
what people
Christmas,
buy
Christmas.
For Thanksgiving is food. They're going to buy that without being marketed to.
Right. That's true. And it's just like, by the time one of these holidays rolls around, I am so sick of hearing about it. Don't most people play a role-playing game to escape? I really don't like looking at role-playing games like that, but that's because I'm weird. But you do kind of try to do things that
all entertainment's escape.
It depends how you define it. I mean, that's a semantics argument, but you're trying to do something you don't normally do, and you know what? I've been doing Christmas for the past 2 months. Can we do something other than Christmas, guys?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I hate Christmas is because it's supposed to be this family time you spend with just your immediate family, and you have a nice meal, and it's very relaxing, and everybody kind of gets together and reconnects, and it's this nice sort of warm feeling, when in reality, it's 2 solid days of run. Make sure you got everything bought. Make sure that nobody's offended by your presence. Go to this place. I got to go to my dad's. Got to go to my mom's. Got to go to her mom's. Got to go to her dad's. Got to go to her grandparents. Got to go to my grandparents. Got to go to the big family.
Going
to
be 2 months afterwards because I bought all these gifts.
Yeah. And
at the same time, the property taxes due.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, and all the while, I mean, the mothers of this land who have to do all of that and cook. Thank you know Christmas dinner.
Actually, I cooked Christmas dinner for us. But
well, you're a mother too. You know that way. But
I did not know that
you are. You're kind of mother. To me, it's Christmas is this big, giant hassle, and it really shouldn't be. And now that I've had a kid, it's an even worse hassle.
Well, I will have to say, I had to work pretty hard to reclaim holidays for myself because I was getting into the same kind of situation.
I've reclaimed Thanksgiving for myself.
Well, and we ended up having to, because the first Christmas or two or three that Carl and I were together, we ended up with that type of crap.
Yeah.
We had to be in 15,000 places. And finally, a couple of years, I said, we're not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to be a family unit now. I have no problem going to other places, but I have to reclaim some sense that these holidays belong to me and they belong to me for the right reasons, that I'm going to take the focus off of running myself ragged, spending gobs of money, and instead really reconnect what I want it to be. And we kind of circumvented some of this because, for example, we said, look, Thanksgiving, all the families are invited to our place, but this is where we're going to be. Mm-hmm. If you want to celebrate Thanksgiving with us, we're not going to run to 3 different houses on one day. You can come here. On Christmas, we said, look, we will spend Christmas Eve with her family, Christmas Day with mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. One house each. Now, I don't care whose that is. That can be grandma's or cousin or whatever. But we are going to do one house on her side on Eve, one house on my side on Day. That's it. And it has done a lot. And I do not envy, because, for example, there are people within my extended family, some of my in-laws and such, where they come from families where there have been divorces and remarriages, or in some cases, multiple divorces and remarriages. And so in my case, I have 2 families. But some of these people have for families.
Right.
Or if there were re-divorces and remarriages after divorces and marriages, then they may, and they stay in touch with these people, they may have six or eight families.
And then on top of that, they go to these family events out of obligation, or at least I know this is true for me, and 90% of the people who are there, this is the first time I've seen them in 365 days.
Yeah, they're possibly fighting with each other. That's a possibility,
or, you know,
too.
Fighting with each other or not fighting with each other. Everyone's happy. Everyone's pissed off. I don't know. I just know that everybody's watching a football game or something that I'm not into.
In my case, to take it one step further, we've got the two families plus two birthdays, one of them actually on Christmas Day, and my own anniversary, all within 1 week period.
Yeah, I save myself. I find my nerd aunt, my separately nerd uncle, and my nerd cousin, and we kind of get into a little cabal where we're like, oh my god, haven't seen you in a year, let's talk about nerd stuff. While all these people talk about sports and children.
You know what I've taken to do? I don't have kids, I have a dog. We've taken to taking the dog with us, and I'll go out and walk the dog around the neighborhood, just disappear for a little while.
Yeah.
It works pretty well, actually.
You know what? You're talking about reclaiming holidays. I reclaim Thanksgiving for myself. I have told everyone, I do not do Thanksgiving. I buy a frozen pizza the day before, because everything's closed on Thanksgiving, and I stay home, and I have a pizza, and I have beer, and I eat that pizza all day long, and I play video games all day, because I don't like Thanksgiving food. I don't like turkey. I know I'm crazy, and Wayne has told me I'm nuts before because he loves turkey.
I didn't say you're nuts. I just said it's my favorite meal of all time.
Well, you've told me I'm nuts for different reasons.
Yeah, just not for that. I mean, a lot of people don't like turkey. Yeah. I don't like ham.
Yeah, I love ham.
I love bacon, though.
Well, because it's bacon.
I told Chad about this. I tried chocolate-covered bacon this weekend. I was at something called the Apple Butter Festival.
He didn't bring
me
any.
And I'm walking by, and I look at it. I see the sign up there. I take a picture on my phone, shoot it over to Chad, shoot it over to another friend of mine, and I'm like, should I? It's like, this is not on my diet.
I told him that.
Why not? Only once. I have to try. It was one of the worst things I've ever had.
Really? I think that
there was a horrible aftertaste.
It was either bad bacon or there's something wrong with you.
No. No, it's the two don't go together.
No.
It was cold and greasy and chocolate covered.
There's a story that I have told probably most of the people sitting at this table, I think, but I don't think I've ever told on air, about why I could not touch that with a 100-foot pole. When I was 14 years old, I went into the hospital for a pretty significant chest surgery, which is called a pectus excavatum repair. What that means is I was born with a sunken sternum.
It was really gross.
And what they do, or what they did, and they still do sometimes, just they now have a bar they try and use to correct it, but they cut the sternum free and then reattach it. And this is something a lot of people don't think about, but in addition to all the painkillers you're on after surgery, the anesthetic itself is actually fairly addictive. So coming off this anesthetic, I'm having these withdrawal-like symptoms. And on top of that, I'm lit up on, I couldn't even tell you how many different kinds of painkillers. They had me just high as a kite. There was carpet on one of the walls in front of me, and I could sit there and watch shapes moving in it. But while I was in this state, I had a nightmare I couldn't stop. And what I mean by I couldn't stop it, when I was young, I had a lot of nightmares as a child. And so I learned how to control my dreams. I was a huge Ghostbusters fan. And so I have all
I actually have never heard anyone else say that. I had the same thing. And like in my case, after watching one of the Freddy Krueger movies, I had a dream with him in it. And I realized, wait a minute, he's not real. This is a dream. And I go through a whole fighting Freddy thing in my dream.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's a dream, complete control.
I can wake myself up.
I can fly. Whatever.
My original way of dealing with all this stuff, because I was a huge Ghostbusters fan, like I said before, Ghostbusters was to me what Star Wars is to most nerds. There were dreams because they're typically supernatural nature. I'd see ghosts and things like that. I would suddenly have a proton pack.
I could suddenly fly. I had Superman's power. I have never heard anyone else say this before. And that's why I hate to interrupt you. But shock me because, you know, I had that all growing up. I could control every one of my nightmares.
I had so many. I mean, I had nightmares almost constantly. But anyway, so while I'm in the hospital, I start having this dream where I was in a building that looked to me something like a school. I don't know exactly what it was. I don't remember. But I was in a building that looked something like a school. And there were these people that were trying to kill me. I never saw them because I was always like one corner ahead of them. The only one I saw was at one point I ran into a clone of myself that was trying to kill me and basically take over my life. And I could not end the stream because I would wake up. Like, I would actually wake up and I'd be in the hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
And a few seconds later, I'd fall asleep again and, like, unpausing a VCR, the dream would continue right where it left off. And this went through several rotations where I'd wake up and be like, no, I don't want to go back to sleep. I can't face this dream anymore. And I'd be doing things to try and induce pain and such to keep myself awake, which in this state was not hard to do. And I would still fall right back asleep and the dream would pick up right where it left off. And after that, because my mom's an employee of the hospital, they'd let her stay around the clock. I asked her to stay there with me at night because if I said this happens again, I need somebody to keep me awake because this went on all night long. But in that dream, there was a point where I had both in waking and in sleeping state, and I'm assuming this was a leftover effect from the anesthetic because I've been told by other people they've had similar things. There was a taste and smell that I was hallucinating. I could not get rid of. And how it manifested in the dream was like this big ball, something like ground beef mixed with tomato sauce, except it had more of a foamy texture to it. Mm. And it was about the size of maybe a softball. And the whole thing was chocolate covered, chocolate coat, like dipped in chocolate, like a big piece of candy. And it was the most disgusting smell and flavor. Could not get it out of my head. And it manifested in that dream.
You're
as that.
A whipped chocolate covered meatball.
No, what I'm talking
of
about
deliciousness.
What I'm talking about is this: imagine if you were to take like a Chef Boyardee thing of ravioli, puree it, kind of congeal it, and then dip it in chocolate.
It was. Hold on, I'm writing this down.
It's disgusting, and because of that, I cannot to this day mix chocolate and meat. It's just I don't care what it is or how perfect. I cannot do it.
I can. I still want to try chocolate covered bacon. I've been meaning to make it.
I would try to. I would think it would be good.
Because I think that sort of tang of grease pork bacon with the saltiness would go well with chocolate, especially the saltiness.
See, I
think that you probably got like some weird applewood smoked bacon.
No, it was rancid. It was like
covered,
you know,
and it's
horrible.
Just like, yeah.
There's a reason why Reese's has not made any partnerships with Bako Bits.
You know, there are chocolate bars that have bits of bacon in them.
And I've had it and it was bad.
Well, there are also lollipops that have scorpions.
See, along with my wife, are of the school of thought that basically deep frying and chocolate on anything makes anything good. You could deep fry dirt or put chocolate over dirt
deep
and it
fried
would be
dirt
good. So yeah, I'm with you, Chad. I think
we're gonna have to try
covered things.
Try
yeah.
It,
yeah, sure. Hang out. You know, Halloween's coming up. You should do that instead of candy. You should just give people. You know, some people give like little popcorn bowls in the plastic.
Usually, we
bag.
Give kids a tasering.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, because so, now we're sort of into this. You and I, Chad, are into this in this stage. So are you and Don going to take
Batman
Sky
was
out,
last year
trick or treating? So you know, you're going to do Buzz Lightyear.
Well, here was our conundrum.
Your movies.
How much was it for him last year, and how much was it for you? To be honest,
well, let me put it this way: last year there really wasn't a choice. It was Batman.
That's
and
why.
It was Dawn and I's choice. Now this year, she said, "Well, I don't want to do Batman again." And I'm like, "Well, there's your problem,
yeah,
right there.
That's true."
And she's like, "Well, none of the other costumes are any good, you know, because we don't want to do a monkey, and we don't want to do a piggy, and we don't want to do all that kind of crap. And I don't want to do Batman again. And the only other choice is Superman." And I'm like, "We are not putting my son in a Superman costume ever."
Yeah, that's good. So Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And he's never even seen Toy Story.
My nephew's going to be Yoda. And my niece, I think, which is on Carla's side, I think it's going to be a ladybug, I think. Mm. But she's not even one yet, or just turned one or something.
Duncan went as Yoda his first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, he was actually a monkey. And this year, he's going as Spider-Man. We actually went out and
Spider-Man's acceptable.
Saw the costume. It's this cool. It's really cool. It's the one with the foam, you know, muscled chest. So it looks really cool. We put it on him when he first got it, just to make sure it fit and took a picture.
Yeah.
He looks really cool. It's got the skin tight mask on.
I am really envious of you guys. I mean, you know,
I'm really
I want kids. I'm looking forward to particularly for the holidays, Halloween, Christmas. There's nothing I like more about Christmas than giving people something that they actually really enjoy and seeing the look on their face. Same thing with Halloween. I look forward to taking them out, seeing. Basically, it's the smile. I like making other people happy. Christmas, I don't care what. I don't care if anyone gives me anything. I don't care what I get. I enjoy making other people happy. Yeah, I know you can't make people necessarily happy by buying them stuff, but
Wayne,
it makes me feel good.
A surefire way to give something to somebody and always get the look you want, a stool sample.
No, but I really am looking forward to this year because I think this is sort of the first year where Duncan, I think, is going to sort of get Halloween, and he's old enough now that he'll really enjoy it.
And your boy's 6 months older than mine, and I don't think he quite gets it yet.
Yeah.
He'll probably think it's a birthday party.
Well,
but
yeah.
Honestly, I'm looking forward to Halloween as well because Dawn is taking the boy to the in-laws, and I'm staying home playing video games,
much like
I did last year.
Pat, I do have to say, though, I mean no offense by it, even though it's a horribly offensive thing to say.
With all due respect.
With all due respect, you're a mediocre parent, and here's why.
Nice.
Whoa, wow.
Wow. Okay.
So every year, Carla likes to go apple picking. There's an apple orchard near here.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually a bunch of them. We go out apple picking, and then afterwards you drink apple cider and funnel cakes and hot dogs and all kinds of stuff. And you go put goats and horses and whatever, a bunch of silliness. And so this year we invite a bunch of people, and Carl and I go, and my sister and her husband come with my nephew, and a bunch of us went out there. And Pat and Beth come, and they bring their son Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to notice that Duncan's wearing a Spider-Man thing. Now I'm thinking, okay, this is good. Mm-hmm. He was wearing a Spider-Man thing. And then Pat happens...
Like a shirt?
Yeah, it was like a shirt or something. And then Pat happens to mention to me that he also likes Batman. And so I say, okay, Duncan, which is cooler, Spider-Man or Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what this poor little boy said?
Silver Surfer? Aquaman?
Oh, no.
That would be child abuse. No.
If it was Aquaman, I would have called DFS by now. No. Yeah. But he said Spider-Man. And, you know, if he had said... This is why I'm saying mediocre, because he didn't say Batman, which would have made Pat a good parent.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, he still picked Spider-Man over Batman.
I'm going to stop you right here.
Spider-Man has the better cartoon on TV
well,
right
that's,
now.
Well, that's part of it right now. Well, the one thing is he has more clothing and stuff that has Spider-Man on, so that's why he identifies more with it.
Okay,
and
who buys
so,
well, clothing?
There is the cartoon
Galactus.
That we're watching. But here's the other thing. I thought about this. Here's the thing. At 3 years of age, you're just not old enough to get the broodiness that is Batman. You're still into the happy phase of Spider-Man. He's happy. He tells the punny jokes and all this kind of stuff. So that's where he is. Give him a couple years.
All right.
Then he'll get into
right.
He'll be more of a
we'll
curmudgeon like me, and then
the
he will be the Batman
grow.
Fan.
So he's like
trust
Chad
me. And he
spandex?
Loves, that's the thing. The toys he's got, the Spider-Man
his
and Batman.
His son does
he
like
loves
me in spandex,
I'll
if
tell you
know what I mean.
And he doesn't like Superman, though. That's the thing. I mean, he's got the little cups on him that has Superman on it, and he's like, I don't like Superman.
Okay, actually,
Dan,
I'm going to have to upgrade.
Sky has a Ghostbusters t-shirt. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
Duncan does not have a Ghostbusters t-shirt.
My dog buddy has an underdog costume.
But Duncan has Batman pajamas, and I mean full blown with a freaking cape as well. It's the Batman uniform. It's got the
perhaps I've judged
cape.
Too quickly. Uh-huh. Perhaps I've judged
so.
Too quickly.
I think so.
All right. So I'm gonna have to bump you up to at least to an A minus. There's some issues here. There's definitely some room to grow as a father. I'll get you some James Dobson books about Batman and you.
There you go.
That, you know, you can work through with him. But in the meantime, you guys take care.
Hey, let's back up a little bit because before we close out. So since this is our sort of Halloween episode and everything, so I have something for you, Wayne.
I didn't know your nipples were pierced.
Oh. I have made this for you, Wayne. And what this is actually, it is a Tumshi lantern, which it is actually fashioned from a rutabaga.
Wow. All right, so
we will get a picture.
And I will pass around. Now, and for those of you who don't know, the jack-o'-lantern actually is, the origin of it is from an Irish myth. That was about a guy named Jack Stingy. And I won't tell the whole story. You can go out and read it. But essentially, at the end of the story, he made deals with the devil and tricked the devil. And what we learned from the story is basically that the devil is an idiot. I'll let you read it and see what I mean. But at the end of it, since he tricked the devil, and when he finally died, God wouldn't let him into heaven because he was kind of a rascal. And the devil wouldn't take him to hell, so he gave him a coal to wander the earth for eternity. And so they had the Irish had this theme of making a lantern out of a rutabaga, or what they call a neep or a tumshi in Scotland. So it's a tumshi lantern, in which what they would do is they would put these in their window on All Hallows Eve to actually ward off the spirit of Jack Stingy or other damn
souls.
For anyone
who's not 100% clear on what it is we have here, Pat has made a rutabaga jack-o'-lantern. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And we'll, this we'll is post and actually a picture is, of this on the forum.
Yeah, this so
that is the
you've
origin.
You've got to see a picture.
Yeah, and this is the actually the true origin of a jack-o'-lantern. They were actually made from either turnips, rutabagas, or potatoes because pumpkins were not available really in the United Kingdom or whatever in that
are
area.
Pumpkins
so.
It's a very world thing, or
it's much more recent. Like I think in the United Kingdom, especially, it was about back in the '70s before they really started planting them and using them. But before that, these were much more popular. And yes, that the whole jack-o'-lantern thing came from Ireland over to America. So we didn't do it here before. But we got it from that from the Irish. So there you go.
Wow.
Happy Halloween.
Wow. You are one weird dude, Pat, and that's why I love you.
It was fun to do, I must say. Yeah. It was a pain in the butt.
This is really cool, actually.
That was fun. I will say this. We need to fire this up afterwards, too, because it's really cool the way it looks.
Need to spark it up.
I mean, when you light it.
Oh, yeah, there's a candle inside.
The neat thing about it is that it glows.
You forgot to mention it's not really a jack-o'-lantern.
It glows yellow, just because the meat of the rutabaga is actually yellow, so it's got a really cool effect when it's, fired up.
We will have that lit for the next recording, so... Rest of you guys, you have a safe and happy Halloween. Get lots of candy. Don't get any razor blades. And we will catch you next time.
Happy Halloween.
See ya.